Begin the current daf Maseches Brachos, daf Lamed. We begin 12 lines in from the top of the Amud, and the Gemara continues the theme of the previous daf, discussing different types of tefillas ketzaras, short abridged versions of the Shemayne Esrei, because not every time is a person able to daven Shemayne Esrei, the 18, 19 brachas that we do over the Amid, and sometimes he makes shorter versions. And the Gemara differentiates between two different types. The Gemara asks, "Ma ikabein havineinu l'tefillah ketzar?" What is the difference between the tefillah known as havineinu and the smaller version of Shemayne Esrei called tefillah ketzar, the abridged version of tefillah? And Taisa explains that, although it would seem to be a simple answer, what's the difference between them? Because what's commonly known as tefillah ketzara, a person's only allowed to daven in the makom sakana, which is just a paragraph that someone says, and havineinu is something that a person could daven even in a place which is not sakana. However, Tosfos says that what the Gemara's question is, that what is the difference, each one in its own area? In other words, havineinu, where it's not a sakana, and tefillah ketzara, where it is sakana, that's when you're able to say each one of those tefillahs. Now, when you say that, what is the difference halachically between the two of them? And the Gemara answers, havineinu bayi letzluya gimel kamayis of a gimel basrei. So the tefillah havineinu requires the first three brachas of the Shemayne Esrei, including aves, gevuras, and atah kadosh, and the last three of ritzei, moedim, and sim shalom. And it also has in between the tefillah havineinu, which includes from atachayinu to shemei tefillah. In a few words, it says all of them in the one bracha of shemei tefillah in between. And moreover, when he gets home, in other words, he was in a compromised situation, and that's why he had to say havineinu. But when he gets home, he doesn't have to daven over Shemayne Esrei, because he didn't miss anything from the Shemayne Esrei, because he incorporated all of it into this tefillah of havineinu. However, betefillah ketzara, so this tefillah ketzara does not require not the first three and not the last three. It only has this short paragraph which we had on the previous daf, which were a few different versions of how the tefillah actually went. But basically, it was Hashem, we have a lot of needs, and we have limited a mind, and therefore, please give us what we need. So it doesn't need it. That's all it is. It doesn't have the first three brachas and the last three brachas, and only has this one nusach. However, when he gets back home, he has to go ahead and daven over again. And that is because he didn't really daven anything. He wasn't Yotzei Chiyuv of Shemayne Esrei. It was just, so to speak, something to work for that moment when he was in the Makom of Sakana, in a dangerous situation. However, when he gets home and there's still time to daven, he definitely has to daven. And the Gemara says, the halach is, the tefillah of havineinu has to be said standing, and that is like just like Shemayne Esrei, which is called the Amida. And as we said, because havineinu is actually, so to speak, a me'ein, is so to speak an abridged version of Shemayne Esrei, and that's why you don't have to say it over when you get back home. However, tefillah ketzara beim umid beim halach, this tefillah ketzara, this small prayer, could be said whether standing or whether on the road, because again, what it is, it's something that a person says when he's in the makom of sakan and he cannot daven. That's what he says, and therefore, when he gets back home, he definitely has to say over Shemayne Esrei again, because it wasn't considered a kiyum of the tefillah of Amida of the Shemayne Esrei. Now the Gemara returns to the quote, the Mishnah, which said, that if someone's riding on a donkey, then the halach is, he has to come down and daven, because that's the proper way that a person should be standing and during the Amida, during when he says the Shemayne Esrei. So Tanu Rabban, if someone's riding on a donkey and it came the time for davening, for Shemayne Esrei, if there's someone that could hold his donkey, then he should come down and he should daven, and then he should continue on his way. If he doesn't have anyone to hold his donkey, what's he supposed to do? So he could sit on the donkey and stay right there and then daven. Rabbi says, either way, it's not a problem. You could stay on your donkey and you could daven where you are. So he holds that there's no problem about staying on the donkey during when he's davening. And he says, Lefisha indaitim yushevis lav, because what happens is that a person will not be able to focus if we require him to come down of his donkey, because the delay of his trip will be on his mind, and therefore he won't be able to focus anyway, so rather stay on the donkey and daven as it is. And the Gemara says, Amarava, v'item Rabbi Shimon Levi, halacha krev, the halacha is actually like Rabbi, that a person is not required to come off his donkey, and as similarly, it possibly would be the same would be if someone's driving on this car. And Taisus says that the halach is, you don't have to come down, and even if it's not in a place of danger, when you're in movement, then you could still daven, and you don't have to even turn your face towards Yerushalayim. And that seems to be the minute that people have regarding Tefillas HaDerech, that people continue driving as they're saying the Tefillas HaDerech, because, let's say, pulling off on the exit would be a major delay, and the person wouldn't be able to focus anyway properly, and therefore the halach is like Rabbi, that a person could continue going and daven as he is. So now the Gemara continues with the halacha that a person has to focus himself towards the Beis HaMikdash, whether in his physiological positioning or in regards to his focus of his heart, a person has to focus towards Yerushalayim, towards the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara explains, Tanraban, Suma umisha in yochel lechaven es aruches. So someone that is blind, or he's not able to discern the different directions, that is to be able to face towards Eretz Yisrael, as we say that it's the Talpia, as the Gemara is going to explain, that it's the mountain, the mound that everyone turns towards it. That's Talpia's. So if this person is not able to focus, doesn't know which way is Mizrach or Ma'ariv, depending on which angle he is facing Eretz Yisrael, so then Yichaven Libe Keneged Avi Shebeshamayim, at least he should focus his heart facing towards his Father in heaven. Shenem, as it says in the Pasuk in Malachim, Vispalalu al Hashem, that you should daven to Hashem. And that is the idea that a person should be focusing towards Hashem. Hayomid b'chutz laretz, if he was standing in chutz laretz out of Eretz Yisrael, Yichavnes libe keneged Eretz Yisrael, he should focus his heart towards Eretz Yisrael, which Tosfos says that the correct gears is not his heart. Rather, it's talking about his face, as the Sefer is going to explain, that if he's standing on the east, he says turn his face towards the west. So therefore, wherever a person is in chutz laretz, depending on his direction facing Eretz Yisrael, he should turn his face that way to face towards Eretz Yisrael. Shenem, as it says in the Pasuk, Vispalalu elecho derech aratzam, that they daven to you by way of their land. In other words, that through their land, facing towards Eretz Yisrael, that is the way they focus and daven to you. So if he's already in Eretz Yisrael, he should even hyper-focus in the sense that he should face his heart towards Yerushalayim. Shenem, as it says in the Pasuk, Vispalalu al asher, that they are daven to Hashem through the city that you chose, facing towards Yerushalayim. If he's standing already in Yerushalayim, then he should focus his heart even more close to the source, towards the Beis HaMikdash. Shnim, as it says in the Pasuk, that they prayed to this house in reference to the Beis HaMikdash. But let's say he's already standing in the Beis HaMikdash, then he should focus his heart towards the holiest of holies. Shenem, as it says in the Pasuk, that they dive into this place, which is a reference to the Mokam HaShchina, which is in the holiest of holies. Let's say he's already in the Kodesh HaKodeshim, he's the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, he's inside. Then he should focus his heart opposite the ark cover, where that is the source, in the source, that's where the Luchas are, and that's where the Shechina speaks from. Let's say he was behind the place where the Kaparis is. In other words, that's in the west of the Azara, which is the courtyard, where there were 11 Amis in the Chatzah that was behind the wall of the Kodesh HaKodeshim, and that was to the west, the western part of the Azara, behind the sanctuary, within the courtyard. And whoever is standing there, he should turn his face the other way, towards the east, facing the Kodesh HaKodeshim. And that's what the Gemara says, Yira Atzbe Kilef Ne'akapres, he should see himself as if he's facing the ark cover. Nimtza, so it comes out, they summarize it as follows. Oymed B'mizrach Machzapanav L'marv. Someone's on the east of the Kodesh HaKodeshim, of the Beis HaMikdash, of Yerushalayim, of Eretz Yisrael, then he should face towards the west. B'mayriv Machzapanav L'mizrach, if he's towards the west of Eretz Yisrael, then you look towards face towards Mizrach. Bidorim, Machzapan al Tzafan, he was on the south of Eretz Yisrael, he should focus towards the north. Bitzafan, Machzapan al Bidorim, he was on the north of Eretz Yisrael, he faces towards the south. Nimtzu kol Yisrael mechavnes liban l'mokam echad. So it comes out that all of Kalal Yisrael are focusing the heart to one place, all to the centrifuge, towards the ark cover, which is the source of all sources. Gan Kalal Yisrael is facing towards one place. Amr above and Vitimri, Bavina Micro, what's the pasuk that explains this? So it's a pasuk in Shir Hashim that says, "Kimigdal David Tavarch," like the tower of David is your throat, is your neck. Banu l'talpias, which is built as a landmark. So the Gemara says that the word talpias can be broken down as tal shakol pias painim bay. That is the hill that all the mouths facing. That's talpias, the hill of the mouths. In other words, all the mouths that are saying praise to Hashem are all facing this one hill, which is the hill of the Har HaBayis, which is where the Beis HaMikdash is on. That's why it's called Talpias, because all of Kalal Yisrael is facing there and saying their praise and focusing it towards there. Now the Gemara continues on a different angle of halach, of tefillah, which is regarding davening before its proper time. And that's related to the sugya we mentioned before, which comes up when someone is ala derech, when he's on the road, different things are changing and he doesn't have as opportunities as someone that's stationary at home. So the Gemara says that Avu de Shmuel v'Levi, k'avaboy lemeipik l'orcha, when the father of Shmuel and Levi wanted to go out on the road for a journey, have mekadmi umatzli, they would get up early and they would daven before it was already daytime. And Tosis says from the Rach that it means that it was already after Amud HaShachar, after Alisa HaShachar. However, they would preface their Shemayna Esther before Netzachama, which is not the Iker Zman of Tevilah, which the Iker Zman is after Netzachama, but they would daven after Alisa HaShachar. And b'chiyabamotis man kriyishma kar, when they reached the time of kriyishma, then they would say it in its proper time. So the Gemara says, come on, who was it that they had this custom like? So kihatana, it's like the following time that the Tanya hishkim lotzis l'derech. Someone gets up early to go on the road. Mevin le shayfer v'tekeh, they bring in the shayfer to blow lulav mnaneya, and to take the lulav and to shake it. Megillah v'kariba, and to read from the Megillah. All these are in different yom tovim of Rosh Hashanah and Sukkot and on Purim. When it reaches the time of Kriyishma, since it wasn't yet when he was leaving onto his journey, then in the proper time he says it. Hishkim leishiv bekroin, the besvin, if he got up early to go on a wagon or on a boat, which each one of those have the elements which wouldn't have proper tefillah, for example, on the boat which has the shaking of the water and it wouldn't be able to daven properly. Then mispal, he davens before he goes on the boat. When it gets to the time of Kriyishma, then again he recites it in his proper time. So the other Tanur, Shimon Lozo Eimer, Benkech or Benkech, Kari Kriyishma Mispal. Both situations, a person who would first daven, would first recite Kriyishma and then daven. In other words, he should wait until the Zman of Kriyishma, and they should say it, and then they should daven. He shouldn't daven before he goes on the trip. Rather, although it's not going to be the ultimate type of Shemoneh Esreh because of the shaking of the boat or because of the journey, however, he should, when it comes the time of Kriyishma, say that, and then afterwards daven. And the reason for that is that he should be able to have the geula of the parashas of Kriyishma and then to say Shemoneh Esreh afterwards, which is a concept that's important in halacha, that you should have that order of Kriyishma and then Shemoneh Esreh. So the Gemara asks my Mekamifka, what is this machloik is about if a person should first daven Shemoneh Esreh properly and then go on the road and then in its proper time say the Kriyishma, or in the time of Kriyishma say that on the road and then say the tefillah, although it's not going to be with the same focus. So the Gemara says, Marsava tefillahs mo'ben adav. One of the Manda Armim says that davening in the proper way of standing, that's better. That was a Tanakama. Marsava mismach gula tefillah adav. But Shimon Laza holds that it's better, the concept, the inyan, about having the closeness of the Gol Yisrael, of the parashis, of the Shema, towards the Shemoneh Esreh, that's better, and therefore you'll do it in its proper time. So Taisa says that this, that it's better to have gula tefillah than to daven standing up, Taisa says that that's how the Bahag Paskin, that the halacha is like Rav Shimon ben Elazar, that it's better to have the proper order of Kriyishma and then Shemoneh Esreh, rather than saying Shemoneh Esreh beforehand standing. And Taisa says it's mashma that the Yudches Brachis, the Shemoneh Esreh, that's mutter to be mispal when you're going on the way, and you don't have to stand up. And that is, if someone knows he's going to be on a plane, he's not going to be able to stand with the proper midah. Taisa is saying that the halacha would be that you don't daven before the proper time, rather wait over the proper time, say Kriyishma, like a regular Pesukah de Zimra and Berachas Kriyishma, and then say Shemoneh Esreh, although you're not going to be able to stand with the proper amidah. So now the Gemara continues with different minhagim that the Amiram had regarding their minhagim with the Kriyishma and the Tefillah, regarding when they would go on the road or in different situations. Meremo Mazutra have mechanfi be'asar b'shabata de rigla u'matzlu v'hodr nafka l'perka. That Meremo Mazutra, who were, they both would hold lectures in their towns, for example, on the Shabbat de rigla, which was the Shabbos that was before the Yom Tiv of whether Pesach or Atzeres of Shuas and Sukkot, Meremer in his city, Mazutra in his city, they were the Ashranim, they were the lecturers. And in the morning, all the people, they would go into the Beis Medrash. And when it came to the time of Kriyishma, they would say it. And the Darshan would continue lecturing. And the all the people, they would go out one by one and daven their Shemoneh Esreh, right? And then they would come back in to hear the rest of the lecture. Therefore, these lecturers, they would gather 10 people in the morning before they went to the Beis Medrash. They would say Kriyishma and daven Shemoneh Esreh to have smichas gula tefillah. And then they would go out to the Beis Medrash to go out and lecture. And that was their custom, that they would daven beforehand and gather 10 people and then go out after they finished Kriyishma and Shemoneh Esreh, go out, and then everyone else, the regular people, would, so to speak, the people that were attending the shiur would say Kriyishma in the proper time, and they go out to say the Shemoneh Esreh. A different amoy, Rav Ashi matzli bahadi tzibura biyachid miyushab. Rav Ashi, who was the Rosh Hashiva in the town of Masa Machasya, so he would daven together with the tzibur, with the congregation, alone and sitting. which is that he would lecture, and he wouldn't daven beforehand like the other Amoraim before he came to this Medrash. Rather, when it came to time of Kriyishma, which was the middle of his lecture, he would, so to speak, whisper a lot of words at one time to the Meturgamon, the interpreter who was standing in front of him, as the way the custom was that the Talmud Chachem, the lecturer, would say certain words, and they couldn't reach to the masses, and they would say it to someone else who would repeat the paragraph. So he would say like a lot of words at one time, to take up a lot of time, and at the time when the interpreter is announcing it to the public, he would then say the Shema, and he would be Semech Geul Tefillah, and he would daven the Shema Nesi sitting as it was when he was giving the lecture, because he didn't want to go out, so not to be matriach the tzibur, to make it difficult for the congregation to stand up before him when he would go out and come back in. So he would just daven Shemayin Esrei when the tzibur was there in the lecture by himself sitting down. When he would come back home, so then he would go back and daven again, standing in the proper position as it's supposed to be. And that is when he would come back home, he would daven because so he could focus, because when he was there in the Beis Medrash, when he was giving the lecture, so the tzibur, they would go ahead and they would remove themselves one by one to daven. But he would stay there and he would sit and daven, again, not to be betrayed the tzibur, and since that's not the ultimate perfect way of davening, so when he would come back home, he would daven standing. So Amalei Rabbanon, v'lavei Marka Mariam HaMazutra. So the Rabbanon, the students, told him, he says, why don't you do like Mariam HaMazutra, that they would daven before and they would get 10 people, say Kriyishma and Shema Nes, and they would come to give the lecture, and then the other people that were listening would say Kriyishma, and then they would go out one by one. Why do you do it this way? Amalehu Trichali Milsa says, troublesome for me, this thing, to come late to the Beis Medrash until I finish with this whole minyan, make it beforehand, therefore I don't want to do it like that, and that's how I daven sitting down in the middle of my lecture, and then I go back home afterwards and I daven in the proper way. So then they asked him, okay, but Belevid Mar Kavu de Shmuel Belevi, but why don't you do like the father of Shmuel and Levi, which is that they would daven at home before the day would start, and they would daven in the proper way, and then you wouldn't need the two tefillas, and because of Masmech Gula Tefila, since they would daven before this man of Kriyishma, they weren't makpid to have Masmech Gula Tefila. So why do you go ahead and then you daven in this improper way and then you have to daven a second time? I never saw our senior rabbis that did the same type of thing. In other words, that they should go ahead and say their Shemoneh Esrei before the Kriyishma like Shmuel and Levi did. So therefore, since I'm waiting for the tefillah until the Zman Kriyishma, it's a mitzvah to be Seimech Gul Tefillah. And therefore, when I say my Kriyishma, I sit and I daven sitting in my place, because I can't, and I'm not so focused over there during the lecture. So therefore, when I come back home, I go ahead and I daven over again. So we have three different anhugis that we find in our Gemara, that Mereimer and Mazutra, that they would daven before the Zman of Kriyishma in its proper way, and that's how they would daven. Shmuel and Levi, they would only daven Shmoneh Esrei, and only later they would say Kriyishma. And we have the Minhag of Rav Ashi, that he would say Kriyishma and Tefillah in its proper time, in the middle of his lecture, and then afterwards he would come back home, then he would daven tefillah mo'med, then he would daven a proper tefillah with the proper focus and the proper positioning. So now the Gemara continues with a new Mishnah, which continues on the theme of the previous Mishnah, discussing the tefillah of Musaf. Rav Elazar ben Azariah Omer, in tefillah samasafin ele b'chever ir. Rav Elazar ben Azariah says that the tefillah of Musaf is only said with the assembly of the town. And that is, they were not masakin. They didn't institute the idea of the Tefillah of Musaf only when it said in a tzibur with the congregation. And that is the word chever is the chabur asir, with the public of the city, and not for an individual. And therefore, if there's only an individual, you don't say Musaf. The Chacham is saying, no, Musaf is said whether you're with a congregation or not. It was instituted both for an individual or for a congregation. Yehuda says over in the name of Rav Elazar ben Azariah, that he says, wherever there is an assembly of the town, there is a public, so then the individual is absolved from reciting the tefillah of Musaf, and that is because, again, it was only said in the chever ir, and that's when it said that then he doesn't have to say on his own. So the Gemara is going to explain that it would seem that the Tanakama, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, is the same thing as Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, that it was only instituted with the assembly of the town. And when it's said in through the Shlich Tzibur, when the public is saying it, then the individual doesn't have to say it. So what's the difference? The Gemara is going to explain. And this is the Gemara's question. Rabbi Yehuda, Hainu Tanakama. Rabbi Yehuda is saying the same thing as the Tanakama. So the Gemara says, no. Ikebe na yu yochid shaloi b'chever ir. The difference is for an individual that doesn't have the assembly of the town. That is, if you have a person that lives in a city that doesn't have 10 people. So according to Tanakhama, in the name of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, so then they didn't institute it only if there's 10 people, so this individual is pater. But according to Yehuda, this Yachid is not pater, he's only pater when there's 10 people, then the Shlich Tzibur absolves him of his chiv to say Musav. So the difference would be when you have an individual in the city that has no 10 people, according to the Tanakhama, he would be pater because it was only made for when there's a chever ear, when there's 10 people. According to Yehuda, he would be chayv because only pater when there is a chever ear that's saying it. When they're not, then he has to say it on his own. As the Gemara says, Tanakhama sav pater, Rabbi Yehuda sav chayv. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda machin na Rabbi Chir Barav, halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda sh'amar v'shem Elazar ben Azariah. The halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, that again, that a yachid is pater only b'makom where there's a tzibur, when there's a congregation davening musav, the shlich tzibur saying musav, then he's pater, but when he's living out in somewhere very far where there's no 10 Jews, then he would have to say musav on his own. Some of the Rav Chiyah Bar-Ovin, Shabbat Kamrit. Chiyah Bar-Ovin says, you said very well, the Amar Shmuel, because Shmuel said, miyamay lo mitzlin etzlusid musaf miyachad, in my day I never davened the tefillah of musav on my own as an individual. And we continue on to Lamed Amid Beis. And that is when I was Benardo. And that's because there was a tzibur. There was obviously 10 people of Yidden in the famous city of Nardo. And therefore the shlech tzibur, the one who gets up to daven by the Amr, he absolved me of Machiv. Labar mahu yoyme da'osu pomosu demalka lamosu v'atrid rabbanu v'leitzalu v'tzalu li b'yachad. Besides, there was one day where the armies of the king came to the city and they disturbed all the rabbanu. They didn't end up davening the tefillah of Musav. And I davened myself as an individual. And v'havya yachid shle b'chavir, because then I was a yachid without the assembly of the town, since there were no 10 men gathered, I was on my own, so to speak, and therefore I had to daven. That's like Rabbi Yehuda, who says that it's only when there is a minion that then you're putter, but not that there's no chiv shle b'chavir. There is, and therefore he had the chiv, and therefore he davened on his own. However, now the Gemara says what the actual halacha is. Yaseh Reb Chanina, kare kamed Reb Yanai, v'yaseh v'ka'ama halacha k'Reb Yehuda, sh'ama m'rishum elozim nazariah. So there was one of the Talmid HaChacham that said, he was called Reb Chanina Karo because he was an expert in Chumash. And he said that Halacha, as we mentioned on the previous summit, like Reb Yehuda that said, name Elazar ben Azariah. So Amalei, so he said to him, Reb Yanai responded to him, Pukro Karech Labara. Go out and say your psukim outside. In other words, don't say what you're saying over here in the Beis Medrash. The Ein Halacha Ker Reb Yehuda Sha'amim B'Shem Elazar ben Azariah, because Halacha is not like Reb Yehuda that said in the name of Elazar ben Azariah. As Taisus says, that rather halacha is like Rabbanan, and that's how the Rach Paskins, and that's why the Gemara later is going to bring from Abba Meir and Basi that they would daven on their own as a yachid in the Rabbanan between the pillars of the Beis Medrash where it was that they learned, to tell you that halacha is like Rabbanan, again, that a person is required to daven musav even as a yachid, even as an individual, because if you're davening yourself in the Beis Medrash where you learned, you're not going to have the opportunity to daven musav if the Chever Ira is saying it. Rather, the halacha is like Rabbanan, and as our minig is, that Musav is said, whether bechever ir or not, even if you live by yourself, you will have to say the tefillah of Musav. So the Gemara says, Amr Rabbi Yochanan, ni re'isis Rabbi Yanai detzali v'hadetzali. So Rabbi Yochanan says that I saw Rabbi Yanai, that he daven, and then he daven again. And that is, why would he need two tefillahs? Rather, one of Shachris and one of Musav, and that's what it would seem, that to tell you the Chiddush, that he doesn't hold over Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, and rather, a yachid has to daven Musav on his own. So Amal Rabbi Yirmiyahu of Zera, v'dimma me kar lo kivin daite, ubesev kivin daite. How can you say that that's why he davened, even though he was davening by himself, he davened two Shemayna essays, that you could prove that he was davening Shachris and then Musav? Maybe they were both Shachris. And the first time he davened, he didn't focus well. And then he said, I have to daven again to focus properly, and that's why he davened again. But really, Musav, you don't say when you're a Yachid, you only say it b'chever ir. And therefore, maybe the halacha is not like Rabbanan. So Amalei responded to him, Chazi man gava rabbi de kamasir aleh. You should see who is this great person, Rabbi Yochanan, that was saying the testimony that he definitely ascertained that this was the case. That Rabbi Yochanan was saying the testimony, so he was definitely meticulous to say that I know that the reason why he davened two Shemoneh Esrei was because one was Shachris and the other one was Musav, because the halacha is like Rabbanan, that Musav is said not only bechever ir, but it's even said as an individual, even without a tzibur. So the Gemara brings the story that Tosis says related to this, that Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi, Afagav Dehavalu Tleisur Bei Kenishta B'Tveria, although they had 13 different Beis HaKnesses in Tveria, where they were, Lehava Matzle Lebein Amud Dehechad Abagar, so they wouldn't daven only between the pillars of where they learned. And that is as a previous Gemara in the Masechtas Brachas that taught us, because that's where the Shechin is in the Dalal HaMashal Halacha. So therefore, where they learned, that's where they davened. And that's the idea that although they were davening B'yachad possibly, like Taisa says, still they would still have the opportunity to daven Musa, because that's how we pass in like a Drabban. However, the Gemara brings that Itmar of Yitzchak Rav Dimi Mishum Rabbeinu Amar, that the Halacha is Kriyab Yehuda Sh'amim Mishum Elozim Nazariah. Not like Drabbanan, but rather that again, that it's only B'chever Ir. And if there is no chever here, then he's obligated. But when there's a chever here, then the yachad does not say his own musaf. So the Gemara brings a story related to this. We mentioned before of a different amar that we wanted to prove that from the fact that he davened two times, that obviously he davened shachas and musaf was done even when he was individual. So we have another tamachacham that he davened and he davened again. So Amalei Reb Zeira, my time of Oved Maharchi, why did you do this? If it's because you didn't focus well the first time, and that's why you're davening a second time. Rabbi Lazar said that a person should always assess himself beforehand. If he thinks he could focus properly his heart, that he has a clear mind, then go ahead and daven. If not, because something happened or you're perturbed or you're disturbed, then don't daven yet. First, gather your thoughts. So why would it be that you would have davened the first time and not focused? Is halacha that you should make sure beforehand that you assess yourself that you're properly focused. Ela d'layadka mar d'reish yarcha. Rather, is it because you didn't mention Reish Chodesh, which is the nusach of Yalav Yavai in the davening? V'hatanya, but we learned in the Braisa. Tov v'loy hizkir shal Reish Chodesh ba'arvis e'machzir noisib nishayoch l'am b'shachris. We learned in the Braisa, it says that if you've forgotten, you did not mention Yalav Yavai on Reish Chodesh during the Ma'ariv Tefillah, you don't go back and return to say over the Shemoneh Esrei, because you could say Yalav Yavai by Shachris. So Taisa says that we're not goyish to this phrase that we just said, because the Gemara later is going to say that if someone forgets and does not mention Reish Chodesh on Ma'ariv, by the Ma'ariv Tefillah, he doesn't go back for a different reason. That's because we're not mekachin as a chodesh by Laila. We don't sanctify the chodesh, and really it's never Reish Chodesh at night. It only becomes during the day. And therefore this was only said possibly only as together with the other tefillahs, which is, as the Braisa continues, that is b'shachris in machzir noisai, neshiyoch l'amr b'masaf, and that if you forget to say Yalav Yovah b'shachris, you don't have to repeat Shemoneh Esrei, because you could say it by musaf. And b'masaf in machzir noisai, neshiyoch l'amr b'mecha, and if, let's say, a person by mistake, by musaf, did not say the proper Musaf tefillah, rather he said a regular tefillah because he said Atachainin and the following, and he left at Yalav Yavai, so then the person does not have to repeat the Shemoneh Esrei because he could say Yalav Yavai by Mincha. So therefore, why would you say over the tefillah again because you forgot Yalav Yavai? That's not a good enough reason. You could say it by the next tefillah. So Malay Lav Itmar Allah Rabbi Yochanan Betzibishon. Didn't we explain this brisa that it's not talking about that a person, if he forgets, he doesn't have to repeat? Of course, if you forget Yalav Yavai, you have to say over Shemoneh Esrei. However, the brisa is talking about by a tzibur when he's with the congregation, that then he doesn't have to repeat the Shemoneh Esrei, because he's going to hear from the shleich tzibur who's reciting the whole Shemoneh Esrei from beginning to the end, and is going to be partly a remembrance of Reish Chodesh because he's going to hear the Yalav Yavai said. However, as a yachid, as an individual, definitely you would have to repeat it because you forgot and you totally omitted the haskara of Me'ina Ma'ira of the Yalav Yavai. However, Rashi brings from the Bahag that he explains that it's referring to the Shatz himself, to the Shlich Tzibur, that because of Tircha de Tzibur, because of the disturbance for the Tzibur, that they're going to have to wait so long, he doesn't have to go back and say over the Yalav Yavai. But he says, even an individual, even that's with the Tzibur, he's davening with the Tzibur, he would have to say over the Shemoneh Esrei, and it would not be enough just to go ahead and hear it again from the Shlich Tzibur, rather he himself would have to say over the Shemoneh Esrei. So now the Gemara continues with a sugi related to this, that if someone has the chiyuv to go ahead and, let's say, repeat the Shemoneh Esrei again, either because he made a mistake or because of what's known as tashlumin, that he has to make up, or tefillah that he by mistake missed, he's by mincha time and he has to say over shachris, so he has to say two minchas. So the question now the Gemara is going to ask is, how long does he have to wait between the two Shemoneh Esrei that he has to say at the same time? How long would he have to wait? And Taisa says that similarly, the same thing would apply between shachris and musaf. Let's say someone's davening on his own, he doesn't have the Kriyas HaTorah in between, and he's saying shachris and right away musaf. How long would he have to wait between these three different tefillahs that he has lined up? Again, that if, let's say, he forgot to daven, or he made a mistake, or he has tashlumin, or if he's just davening shachas and musaf, how much would he have to wait? So the Gemara says, "Kama yishabin tefillah tefillah." How much of a distance would it be necessary to wait between davening one Shemayin Esrei to the next Shemayin Esrei? Shav Huna Rav Chizda have a machlekes. Chad Amar kedei shetischinin daitoy lab. One says that he should be able to have a supplicatory frame of mind, that he should have the frame of mind of a tchina, and that is that he should be enough focused, enough at ease, that he could prepare his words in the lashon of tchina. One says that he should have an entreating frame of mind, and that is, in truth, it's the same shita. They're not really arguing on the amount of time; rather, it's the terminology that they're using. What's necessary that a person should have as a focus before he starts Shemayin Esrei. So the Gemara says, "Mando amekadesh tischoin and daitu love." According to one that says that the idea is that he should be able to have a supplicatory frame of mind. That's the chesiv that says in the pasuk, "Ve'eschan al Hashem," and that I supplicated to Hashem. And that we see that's the prereq, so to speak, that's necessary before one davens. Mando amekadesh tischoil daitu love. And according to one that says that he should have an entreating frame of mind, that's the chesiv that says in the pasuk, "Ve'ichal Moshe," that Moshe entreated Hashem. So we see that these are the two elements that are necessary before one goes ahead and davens. So therefore, there's a certain amount of time that possibly Dalai Lama is that a person would have to wait between two Shemayin Esrei, not to do it back-to-back, literally. Now the Gemara goes back to what we mentioned before, that regarding someone that forgot Yalav Yavui. Amrav Onan Amrav, Tov Lehiskech L'Rosh Chodesh Arvis, Ein Machzir Nosei. If a person forgot to say Yalav Yavui at the Ma'ariv Tefillah, he does not have to repeat the Shemayin Esrei. And what's the reason for that? L'fisha Ein Bezdin Mekachin Nesach Chodesh Elav Yom. Bezdin, which before we had our calendar, which was created by Hill, that they was made by people that would see when the moon would be to have the rebirth, and they would be mekadesh l'chaydish to say that it's the time for the new month. They would only do it during the day when the people would see that it's actually here, and it was never done. Although the Jewish calendar starts at the night before, there's no sun, so it was only started on the following day, and they would see during the day. Would come into Bezdin and say we saw it. They would say, okay, today is Rish Chaydish. So therefore, in the sense, there was never Rish Chaydish that was at night. Possibly retroactively, but it was never Mekudesh at night, and therefore it doesn't have an issue regarding repeating Yalav Yaveh, and therefore if you forgot Yalav Yaveh, you don't have to say it over. Taisus says that someone has said because of that this would necessarily be only on the first night of Rosh Chodesh, and then you wouldn't have to say it over since we're not Mekadesh L'Chodesh at night. But if, let's say, it's 2 days Rosh Chodesh, so the second night that you would have to say it over because that's already, it's already sanctified from the day before. However, Taisus says, and that is the halacha, that it doesn't make a difference, and one would not have to say over Yalav Yaveh, whether it's the first or the second night of Rosh Chodesh. So the Gemara continues on this, and the Gemara qualifies, Omar Meimer, Mistabra Milsa de Rav, B'chodesh Mole. B'chodesh Chosam Achzir Nasi. It would seem that this halacha, that one does not have to repeat the Meir of Tefillah, if it forgot Yalav Yaveh, only by a Chodesh Mole, by a full month, which is that they made it a 30-day month, and that then Rosh Chodesh is 2 days. And therefore, since you could say it the following day, and you'll have the Ma'ariv of tomorrow, which is completely Rosh Chodesh, more so even than the first day, so then that's when he said that you don't have to repeat Shemayin Esrei, because you'll be able to do it the next Ma'ariv. But by Chodesh Chasa, we only have 1 day Rosh Chodesh, and it's going to be missing the night, so to speak, the Ma'ariv of Rosh Chodesh, we'll be missing the Haskar, but then you would have to repeat Shemayin Esrei. To which Gemara responds, Rav Taima Kami. Rav gave a reason. He explained that the reason is because we're not Mekadesh as a Chodesh by Lad. We don't sanctify it by night. So therefore, Mali Chas or Mali Mali. What would be the difference if it's a full month or empty or a lacking month? That if there's 1 day Rosh Chodesh or 2 days Rosh Chodesh, El Lishna does not make a difference. And it wouldn't make a difference if it's 1 day or 2 days. If you don't say Yalav Yavai by the Ma'ariv Tefillah, you do not have to say over the Shemayin Esrei, because again, because we're not Mekadesh as a Chodesh by Laila, and that would suffice why one would not have to repeat it. Hadna Lach Tefillah Sashacha, let us return to you the Perek of Tefillah Sashacha. Now the next Perek continues on the Sugya of Tefillah, and specifically now it begins with the Hachonas of Tefillah, the preparatory elements, that the focus and the dress and that what's important before one davens, that's where our parak begins. So the Mishnah starts. In Imdin Lehispal El Matech Kevid Reish. A person does not stand up to daven Shemayin Esrei only with a heaviness of the head, and that is with a certain humility. And as the Mishnah explains, Chasidim Harishayinu HaYishayin Shoh Achas Mispal. The earlier pious ones, they would wait 1 hour in the place where they came to daven, before they were daven, and that is Kadesh Chavnu Libam Lavim Shadar Shabashamayim, so that they could direct their heart to their Father in heaven, and that is, it requires a certain frame of mind. It was almost a meditative experience. And that was the mantra repeating the Shemayne Esrei again and again. That was, they had to focus before they got into the Shemayne Esrei. That was why they waited an hour beforehand. And as the Mishnah says, that afilah hamelech shel b'shloime lo yishabenu, even if the king inquires about and greets him, he should not respond. And even if there's a snake coiled around his heel, he should not interrupt. He's davening in front of the King of Kings. He's standing in front of Hashem, so to speak. And therefore, it's a frame of mind that a person has to get into. And Shavis Hashem L'negdi Summit, it's necessary for a person to focus with a Kovid Reish before he gets up to daven. So the Gemara wants to know the source for this. Where do we know this, that a person has to have Kovid Reish, a certain heaviness or humility before he davens? So Amar Lazar, the Amar Krah, there's a pasuk that says, regarding the Tefillah of Chana, that says when she was davening to Hashem for a child, it says, v'hi maras nefesh, that she was bitter of spirit. And therefore we see that there's a certain heaviness that's necessary, that's mandatory before one goes ahead and daven. Not with levity and laughter. So the Gemara asked me, Mai, how do we know that this to be the source? Dilma Chana Shani, da havis mariru libetuva. Maybe Chana was different because she was actually a very bitter person because she didn't have children for many years. How do we know that's the source, that a person should be with such heaviness before he davens? So the Gemara says, correct. A different source. That David HaMelech says, Vani, and as for me, Beroyiv Chazdecha, through your abundant kindness, Avoy Veisecha, that I will enter your house, Eshtachav Alhechel Kodjcha B'Yirsecha, that I will bow to your sanctuary, your holy sanctuary, in awe of you. That's B'Yirsecha, that's so to speak, through Yira, through fear, and through the awe of Hashem. And we see that's how he came to Daven. That's how David came. So the Gemara asked me, Mai, how do you know this to be the source? Maybe David was different because he would torment himself in his beseeching of mercy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he would go to great lengths. Maybe that's what he did, but who said that's mandatory of every single person? So the Gemara brings a different source. Elo Omer Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Mahocha, from this pasuk. It says, you should bow down to Hashem in holy splendor. And the Gemara darshins, al tikri behadras ila bechardas. Don't read it behadras, rather the chered, the hay switches with the ches, and the dalad and reish switches to reish and dalad. And that's many different, we find this many times in Chazal, that there's the relationship between the different letters and the words. And therefore means that a person should bow down to Hashem with awe, with holy awe. And that's how we see that a person should have fear and awe and heaviness before he davens. So the Gemara asked me, Mai, again, how would we know this to be the source? Dimelo ilam emlecha hadras mamish. Why should we interpret the word hadras kodesh as cherdes, with awe? Maybe it actually means literally that with splendor. And that is kihod Rav Yehuda have mitzayin nafshi v'hadematzai. It's fine. That's what Rav Yehuda did, that he would distinguish himself, that he would put on his finest clothing before and in preparation to daven, and then he would daven. So we see that there's an element, and this is in the halacha, and the Rambam brings this, that a person should be dressed with his finest, behadras kodesh. So therefore, it's not a source to say becherdas, it means the hadras kodesh. So the Gemara says, Elo Omer Abnachem b'Yitzchak Mahocha, a different pasuk. It says, Ivdu es Hashem b'yira, that you should serve Hashem with awe, v'gilu b'rada, and that you should rejoice with trepidation. And that is that we see that Ivdu is a reference to tefillah, because tefillah is in place of us for the, in now that we don't have an avoid in the Beis Hamikdash, that's what tefillah does. Now we say that Ivdu should be beyira, it should be with fear. So that's the source that we have, that a person should come with Kovid Reish. So it says there in the pasuk, v'gila berada, that, and you should rejoice with trepidation. So the Gemara wants to know, my v'gila berada, what does it mean to rejoice with trepidation? They seem to be almost an oxymoron. How could you rejoice with trepidation? So Amar Baba Bamasta Maraba Bemokim Gila Sham Teirad, in the place of rejoicing, there should be trepidation, that it should be, so to speak, tempered. It shouldn't be total gila. And as the Gemara says, different incidents related to this halacha, that Abaye have a Yosef Kameh de Rabba. Abaye was sitting in front of Rabba. Chazi Davaka Bodach Tuv. He saw that it was excessively cheerful. Amar v'gila beradik siv, he says that it says you should rejoice with trepidation, that it should be somewhere in between. You shouldn't be so excessively on the batchanis, on the cheerfulness. So amalei anot tefillin manachna, says that I am wearing tefillin, and that is that the simcha of tefillin, and moreover Rashi says that that's testimony that the mshallah, the yoke, and the malchus of my master is on me. So therefore, the reason why it has to be trepidation is to show that there's a certain awe of Hashem that should be present. The fact that I'm wearing tefillin is, so to speak, that itself tempers it. And that's the, so to speak, dira'ad that's there and present with the tefillin. So therefore, I'm allowed to have an excessive gila. Another incident the Gemara brings, Rabbi Yirmiyahu Havi Yosef Kamed Reb Zera. Birmi was sitting in front of Reb Zera. Chazi Davika Badach Tuv again. He saw that he was excessively rejoicing, they're cheerful. So Amalei, so he quoted a pasuk in Mishle. It says, B'chol Etzev Yieh Meiser Ksiv. So it says that it says in the pasuk that in all sorrow, there's profit. And that is what he was trying to tell him, was that when the person shows to himself some sorrow, some depression, there's some merit to that, in that it requires a person to focus on the serious things in life. So don't get so excited or so carried away. So Amalei Hanot Tefillin Menach, he says, I'm wearing tefillin, the same type of response, that the tefillin itself is focusing me. I'm allowed to be more excessive in my rejoicing. Another incident the Gemara brings is Mar Berei de Ravina Ovid Hilula Lebre. Mar, the son of Ravina, was making a chasna for his son. Chazinel Rabbanon David Kabatchi Tu. We saw that the rabbinic Tamidim, the scholars, they were rejoicing excessively. And he thought that they looked like they were pyrical, like they were throwing off the yoke. They were getting a little bit out of hand. So now we continue on to the top of Laman Aleph and Aleph. So Isaac Kisa de Moikra Bas Arba Meya Zuz. So he brought a precious glass worth 400 Zuz, Vitavar Kamayu Vatsiva. And he broke it in front of them, and they were saddened because something very precious broke. And he was using that to temper them, to bring them down, so to speak. And Tosfos says that from here the meaning is to break a glass by a chasna, as the custom is to do it by a chuppah. And Mashos says even more. Mashos says that there's a very big corollary between the simcha of the chasna and the simcha of a glass. And that is that they're both made out of sand, and they're both very precious. And they both have this, so to speak, this mortality, this fragility, that they're easily broken. And that's what he was tempering them with, that, with saying that although there's great rejoicing, we have to take it with in its proper context. The Gemara continues with another incident. Rav Ashi Ovid Hilul Lebrei. Rav Ashi made a chasna for his son. Chazin l'Rabban and Avik Abadchi Tuv. He also saw that Rabban were getting a little bit excessively rejoicing. So Aisi Kisa Dezukisa Chivarta V'Tavar Kamayi V'Atziva. So he took a cup of white glass, which was very precious, very expensive, and he broke it in front of them, and they were saddened. So the Gemara brings another incident that Amru le Rabban le Rav Amnuna Zuti behilula de Mar Bered Ravina Lishri Lan Mar. So the Rabban, the Talmudic scholars, told Rav Amnuna Zuti at the Chasna of Mar, the son of Ravina, that maybe sing for us a song that for the Chasna. So Amalahu, he said the following song: Vaylon de Misnan, Vaylon de Misnan. Woe to us that were destined to die. Woe to us that were destined to die. That was the same idea, the element of bringing them down, that although there's major rejoicing, it has to be bir adah. So Amri Levir, so they said to him, Anan manani basrach, what should we respond after you? What's the chorus, such a song? So Amalehem, so he said to them, Hey Torah, the hey mitzvah de magnelon, where is the Torah, where are the mitzvahs that should protect us? And that is, where is all the Torah that we learned? And where are all the mitzvahs that we're makayim that should protect us from the judgment of Gehenna? And again, this is the same idea that although there's obviously an inyan of simcha, especially the chasna, but it should be in the proper context and it should be tempered, as it says, v'gila b'rada. And the Gemara brings as the halacha to this, that Omer Rabbi Yechonim Mishim Mishim Ben Yechai, Asala Adam Shimalis Chag Piv Boil Mezah, that it's forbidden for a person to fill his mouth with laughter in this world. It shouldn't be to an extreme. Shanim, as it says in the Pasuk, then our mouths will be filled with laughter and our tongues with song. Amos, the Gemara says, when is that? And then that's where the Tehillim continues. Bizman she yoimru vagoyim higdol Hashem lasas emela. That's only at the time when the nations will say that Hashem has done greatly with these people. And that is only when Mashiach will come, and that then the Kala Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shechina will fill the world, then we'll have Yimali Schig Pina. But up until then, the person is not supposed to be excessively laughter. And the Gemara says that Amru Lav Al Rish Lakish Shemiyam of Loi Mali Schig Piv Bayil Mazeh Michi Shamim Rabbi Yechon Rabbi, that it was said about Rish Lakish that from the day that he heard this halacha from his Rebbe Rabbi Yechon, his mouth was never filled with laughter in this world. And that is the idea that a person should have the proper focus and the context of Vigilo Berada.